You're listening to Food Confidence, a podcast about approachable health and imperfect food, all for the sake of the next generation. I'm Jennifer Bravo.
And I'm Andrea Paul. We are two non-diet health professionals on a mission to empower parents and caregivers in raising food and body confident kids.
Welcome back. We are here recording another episode right after the holidays of Thanksgiving, I should say.
Yes, so we're in the midst of the holiday season. Thanks for saying American Thanksgiving, because there is a Canadian Thanksgiving. Thank you.
There are others. Yes. Not just ours. So, yes, that means late November. Now we are officially in December.
Yes.
And so we thought we would do a little episode about navigating intuitive eating and the holidays. So we're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about kids mostly. And then I think if we have time, we're going to try to talk about intuitive eating and adulthood and what that means for you. So
yeah. We got a couple of questions that came through. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to do another little Q&A episode. We had two Q&A episodes in season one, which you guys seem to enjoy. So we're bringing that back for a little holiday edition Q&A. The first question is, what is the best way to navigate the conversation about the importance of intuitive eating when everyone in my family always says, but how can you eat whatever you want and be healthy? This has been particularly hard during the holiday season now that I'm noticing that diet talk is really everywhere. Thanks so much.
So I would say the first thing is to share the importance of intuitive eating. It's very nuanced and it's a big conversation. So I would recommend that you could either kind of put your stake in the ground and just say, this is how I eat. If you have more questions, I'm happy to chat about it, and then kind of leave it at that. Or, you know, if they are questioning, you know, how can intuitive eating be healthy? You can simply just say, well, I'm choosing to trust my body. And for me, that is health. That is balance of my mental health and my physical health. And that's what's important to me. And you can kind of end it there, especially if they're kind of picking on it, which it sounds like maybe this question is rooted in maybe a little bit of bullying around your choices. And I would probably set a boundary and move on from it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think the holidays can be kind of an emotional time for a lot of reasons. I only realized that probably like as I became an adult and remembering that, you know, remember seeing my mom get like more stressed out around the holidays and being like, why? The holidays are great. Christmas is amazing. But now as an adult, you know, there, you know, lots of things have changed. And anyway, lots to navigate. And yeah, so the holidays can be charged to begin with. And especially if you're starting or in the middle of your intuitive eating journey, you know, we're all still figuring things out. It's an ongoing process. It's something that we're always going to be working on.
Well, I think too, maybe what you're saying would also be relevant to if a response could be, you know, I'm still working on what intuitive eating means to me, but I know it's better than restrictive eating or being out of tune with my body.
Or how I felt before around food.
Yes.
This is an improvement for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people might have no clue. Most likely people have no clue what intuitive eating is. So I think what you said about I'm trusting my body, I'm learning to trust my body, mm-hmm. is a perfectly acceptable thing.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, really what you're eating is nobody else's business. I understand that perhaps people are expressing those opinions out of concern, mm-hmm. or what they feel is concern.
Right.
But you are completely within your rights to set boundaries around, you know, if you want to talk about it, then you're of course welcome to explain what it means to you. But I would hope that another option that you might feel comfortable with, although it might be a little bit harder to express, is, you know, just shutting down those comments like, you know, this is what I'm doing and it's really none of your business, or I'd prefer not to talk about that, or what are some other options? Kind of shutting down that conversation. Mm-hmm. I think
change the subject.
Change
entirely.
The subject, yeah.
Just completely
yeah.
reverse the course and move on.
Yeah.
And then finally, the third choice is to remove yourself entirely from the conversation. So get up and leave, excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, you know, whatever it may be, leave the room, however you can get away from the conversation.
Whatever you need to do. Because unfortunately, I think for some people, there will be those instances where, you know, they have somebody at the table that is really harping on this and kind of isn't being open-minded with this conversation. And that can be really painful and sometimes triggering for somebody who's trying to recover from diet culture. So again, your body, your rules, and you get to excuse yourself if things are not getting through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So in conclusion, the three things to do during the holidays and conversations around diet talk and diet culture are: one, engage and share what intuitive eating is and what it means to you; two, shut it down and change the subject; and three, remove yourself from the conversation.
And this question also got us thinking about what parents and caregivers can do if similar concerns or topics come up around the holiday table and those things are directed at their children that are there. So perhaps there are comments around, you know, how quote unquote picky or selective a child is being around food and things like that. Or maybe there's somebody who's being overly pushy, you know, so-and-so needs an extra helping of this on their plate.
Somebody who's commenting on everything that your child is eating or consuming.
Right.
And just kind of narrating their food situation for them.
Right. And I think before we hopped on the recording, we were kind of talking about like how the holidays are, you know, a tricky time for many reasons, but, you know, everyone's schedule's kind of thrown off, you know, we're eating maybe at odd times, there's more gatherings. So just knowing that, like having hopefully the acceptance that things are not going to maybe be as smooth going as they might be, particularly as it pertains to food.
Yeah.
So kids might get overtired or over hungry or
overstimulated.
Right. Yeah. Goodness gracious. It's an exciting time for little ones.
Yeah.
Most of,
if you think about it too, your daily routine consists of the people that dwell in your home. And so then to have a mealtime around a big group, if that's not normally your thing, you know, that is an experience in and of itself for your child, let alone then being introduced to possibly new foods, foods that haven't been prepared by their caretakers, foods that are extra extravagant. So, you know, dialed up a notch, whatever it may be, there's already enough new going on that your child is taking it all in. So to find that grace and to understand that, okay, this is not the normal, so they're not going to behave or eat normally, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And kind of start with that baseline understanding of like, okay, and I think really, at least in my experience of parenting, that check-in is truly just for my own sanity. You know, to like calm myself down and to talk myself off the ledge to say, okay, actually, no, this is good. Even though she's acting cuckoo bananas, this is to be expected. This is how anybody would be acting if these were the set of situations or circumstances. So yeah, that's like the first like baseline.
Exactly. So then kind of thinking about, you know, what to do if somebody expresses concern for either the way your child is eating, what they're not eating, what they are eating, maybe what they believe is too much. So again, I think those same three principles that we had previously mentioned for adults, so engage, shut down, remove yourself, can be applied in a lot of cases with your kids as well. So just say somebody expressed concern for your child being very selective around the table, or maybe let's say they're not eating all that much. You know, your response as a parent could be, you know, thank you for your concern. This is what we do in our household around food. So explaining maybe your approach to food in your household. So if that's one that's more aligned with intuitive eating or the division of responsibility, as we've mentioned before, that would be that, you know, no foods are off limits and that you provide a variety of foods to your kids and you don't pressure them to eat any particular foods or eat, you know, more of one food than another.
Mm-hmm. And you could also say, you know what, this is a really, you know, chaotic, hectic time, and I'm not concerned that at this one meal, so-and-so isn't eating all that much, or is only eating mashed potatoes, or is removing their peas from their plate. You know, this is just one experience and I'm not concerned, so let's move on.
Yeah. So I think that would be kind of setting a boundary, inviting that person to change a subject. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would give the impression that you're not really interested in talking about this at this time, especially, you know, when your kid is listening to the conversation anyway.
So then the second kind of point that we've come up with is a little bit different than shut down and change the subject, even though you're welcome to do that as well. Another option would be to address your child directly. And you could just say, you know what, so-and-so, you're welcome to eat as little or as much as feels good to you right now. Mm-hmm. And then kind of talk to your kid and make sure that they know that you're good with how they're approaching their meal.
Right. That you trust them and that they should trust their own stomachs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just reiterating that they have, you know, making sure that they know that they have their autonomy.
Yes.
Although, you know, they might not know the word autonomy. Yeah.
But just know, like you said earlier off the podcast, was I trust you. Mm-hmm. And making sure that they know that kind of gives them that freedom and will probably alleviate a little anxiety that they're probably feeling. So yeah, address your child. And then the third option,
just like as an adult, you have the right to remove yourself and remove your child. So, you know, again, if you have that person who's just kind of harping and won't let it go, maybe you're feeling uncomfortable or you notice that your child's feeling uncomfortable. Maybe it's, you know, past bedtime or something like that. You can, you know, say, let's go play. I'm going to take so-and-so to the bathroom. Any of those things to just kind of give everyone a break. And then hopefully when you come back, if you come back to the table, you know, the subject will have been changed at that point. So just remember to give yourself a lot of grace and hopefully feel comfortable setting boundaries around food talk for both yourself and your child around the holidays. Yeah.
And I think another important topic to touch upon is if your child is eating in a way that you don't recognize as they normally do at home, then that could look like, you know, what you might think is overeating or what you might recognize as just eating one thing, or if they're not eating anything at all. It's okay if one meal is imperfect. It's particularly challenging when that happens in front of other people when you're parenting, because everybody is watching the kid. I mean, truly, that's just how it goes.
That's your experience.
That's my experience. Yeah. Especially when they're young. I think when they're older, it's less so, but the comments still happen regardless. So it's okay to just find peace with the fact that they're eating in that way and moving on, because it's not indicative of how they eat over the course of their life. It is just an event. So,
right.
You know, give yourself some grace and give your child some grace.
Yeah. So while we're on the topic of the holidays, I wanted to share a quick personal story. As I know this time of year, some of the diet culture things that might show up would be around modifying recipes to make them quote unquote healthier, to make them lighter, you know, like skinny pumpkin pie or, you know, mashed cauliflower instead of mashed potatoes. If that's what you like, you know, have at it. But I just wanted to share this story because I think about it a lot, especially this time of year. And it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I was home for Christmas. I don't get home for like actual Christmas all that much, unfortunately. But this year I was home for Christmas and I was in charge of making this one dish, which my mom had picked out, which was Duchess potatoes. I don't know if anybody has had Duchess potatoes before or made Duchess potatoes.
Duchess or Dutch whipped?
It's Duchess, like Duchess. Duchess of Cambridge.
Okay.
So my mom had picked out this recipe for potatoes. Instead of doing her regular like mashed potatoes, we want to do something a little bit fancier. And I was not at a point where I had even heard of intuitive eating, and I was still very much in the mindset of like making my recipes more whole grain and reducing sugar and making them, again, quote unquote, healthier. And I've been doing that for like many years, not with everything, but so
for the course of your career,
for the course of my career, like what healthy swaps can you make to make this, you know, whatever. So my mom handed me this recipe for Duchess potatoes and I was so taken aback. I struggled through making this recipe so much. So just to give you an idea, I'm going to read a recipe. I'm not sure if it was the recipe, but a recipe for Duchess potatoes off of the Epicurious website.
So
okay, here we go. This is a casserole. So it called for 12 medium Yukon Gold potatoes, okay, kosher salt, apparently no measurement on that, so just, you know, indiscriminate amount.
To taste.
5 large egg yolks, 2 cloves of garlic, 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream, 3/4 cups of sour cream, 10 tablespoons of butter, and a teaspoon of pepper, ground pepper. So me, in my mind, I struggled so much to follow this recipe. Like, I really had the instinct of I wanted to cut back on sour cream or butter or salt because all those things in my mind were bad. And
it was freaking you out.
It was freaking me out. Like, yeah. I had a moment where I was like, okay, like, just follow the recipe. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, brought me to do that. I don't think I was ever super
strict or
super restrictive. So I was lucky that way. But I do remember specifically being freaked out by all of the rich ingredients that were going into this potato recipe. But I did it and I ate it and I, you know, remember really enjoying it. In fact, I think I'll make it again this year. So yeah, it was just kind of an interesting thing to reflect back on. And I don't know if people, like our listeners, have had experiences like that before. But yeah, just maybe to be kind of curious about, you know, why you're having those reactions to those ingredients if you're looking at a recipe and what the intention is behind wanting to make it healthier. And of course, you know, most of the time that intention, I think for most people, would be to reduce calories, to reduce fat, because we believe those things to be, you know, bad and we can't have them.
Right.
But yeah, looking at the recipe, if we're going to kind of take our
diet culture lens off of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And look at it logically.
Yeah. So when I look at this recipe, I'm seeing a delicious potato recipe because I love potatoes. But first and foremost, 12 medium Yukon Gold potatoes. Okay. So that is about a serving of potato for 12 people. So 5 large egg yolks doesn't seem that much because, again, we're feeding 12 people with this. 2 garlic cloves, hell, I'd probably put 4. 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream, cool. 3/4 cup sour cream, cool. 10 tablespoons of unsalted butter, I'd probably do salted. But again, this is 12 potatoes and that's only a tablespoon per potato. So, like, if
less
you were
than.
Yeah, less than. So if you were having, right, because it's a stick and 2 tablespoons. So yeah, if you were having a baked potato, you'd probably put a tablespoon of butter on it. So this, you know, looking at the recipe, it doesn't seem all that bad, especially because this is one part of a larger meal. So there are going to be other things served and that reduces that portion even more. So yeah, looking at it from this kind of outside bird's eye perspective,
right,
you can kind of see like, okay, I'm not going to eat this in a vacuum. This is not the only thing I'm eating. I'm not making this for just me to eat the whole thing top to bottom.
Right.
This is just a supplement to the larger meal.
But yeah, looking at these like large measurements, I didn't have that kind of logical mind.
Right.
Where I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to eat this whole casserole by myself. Right. So yes, maybe this is the larger portion that I would, you know, be using at one time, but like I'm making this for, you know, X amount of people.
Right.
So I think hopefully that can be maybe a little bit helpful if you're kind of looking at a recipe and feeling maybe a bit resistant
or scared of it.
And again, and maybe that applies to like regular mashed potatoes or, you know, sweet potato casserole or whatever the holiday food is. Mm-hmm. Remembering that it's not the only thing you're eating in that meal. It's not the only thing you're eating in that day. We're really, again, trying to zoom out and look at the bigger picture.
Right.
And eventually, hopefully, just kind of take the focus off of the food around the holidays and in life in general.
Right. I mean, no matter where you are in your intuitive eating journey, life changes. And so that perspective changes too. You know, sometimes you're just so busy that food is such an afterthought that on your intuitive eating journey, it might be easier to plug in to what sounds good. Or if you're a different kind of person, that could be even harder to do. All of these things change with life and with circumstances, and the holidays were up against a new kind of normal that happens once a year, but it only happens once a year. So it could be a highly stressful time. It could be really triggering. It could be really joyous. I mean,
The range of emotions.
The range is just the full range. And so no matter where you are on your intuitive journey, you might be triggered by a certain experience during the holidays, and you might revert back to old diet culture thoughts. And I think this is a really good point, Andrea, that like, if you can look at something and then really dial back and give it the full picture, that thought interruption might help you bring it back to where you are on your actual journey. And it might be able to alleviate some of the stress and anxiety that acutely is occurring.
Yeah. And I really like how you pointed out the idea of that thought interruption. I think that's a really key skill that can be really helpful when you are relearning that trust in your body. And so that kind of brings us to another question that we got, which isn't specifically related to the holidays, but we wanted to kind of address it anyway. So it says, I feel a little stuck right now. I have fully rejected diet culture and in fact feel duped by it and am now quite angry whenever I see its message. Where I get stuck is that I feel like I'm in a weird place where I'm not yet balanced and eating all the food I never allowed myself before, even if I don't really want it. Do you have any insight to this? Help. So I think this is a great question.
Yeah.
And probably one that we've both been through, probably, I don't know, I've been through it a little bit personally, and also where I'm coaching clients around intuitive eating.
Yeah, this comes up all the time for me with my clients.
So it's that space between, you know, where you have decided to pursue intuitive eating and are really tuning into where diet culture is, or you're really becoming a lot more aware of diet culture's message and how it's been, you know, lying to you for years and all those things. So
yeah.
I like the response of anger is quite normal and often encouraged.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you find yourself in this place where you are,
I call it the Sandra Bullock in Gravity, where she's like floating out in space going like, and she like can't quite get her equilibrium.
Right. She has no place to put her feet on the ground.
There's literally no place
to put her feet on. So yeah, it can feel like you're floating in this abyss and you're
kind of ping-ponging and
right. I've also heard it described as a pendulum a lot of the time. There's also a writer and fat activist named Jess Baker, who you might know as the Militant Baker on Instagram, who has described the pendulum as diet land and donut land. So when we reject diet mentality and diet culture, we kind of swing over to donut land. And the idea is that, yes, it is a pendulum and you will kind of fall back and eventually find equilibrium.
So I think I love the pendulum analogy because I think that really paints the picture very clearly for what happens to most people. I hear this all the time. And it's almost like this no man's land that you have to like trudge through in order to get to food freedom from diet culture. It takes quite a bit of effort to really tune in and figure out what intuitive eating means for you. And that's this no man's land. That's where this pissed off middle finger to diet culture kind of eating and behaviors exist, because you're still figuring it out. You're still learning what this means now that you've rejected diet mentality, that you're changing habits that you've previously set for yourself. And it does, it does feel maybe a little bit lost at times, especially when you're coming from an environment that very much celebrated strict external cues over internal cues. There has to be a shift. And so that's this gray spot.
Right. And I also feel like, you know, in diet culture and diet mentality, you know, people tend to overthink or overanalyze their food and exercise and bodies and whatever it is. And then we swing over to the other side. It's kind of like letting go of those restrictions altogether. It's kind of, I just thought of like, it's kind of like the pressure release on the Instant Pot. Like,
right. It is a quite explosive response to to leave diet culture and to realize you've been duped. You should be angry. And anger is a strong emotion. And that does kind of like to fulfill your Instant Pot analogy, right? It is the steam, this pressure is being released, and it shoots you to the other side of the room. You're almost like, now what? And you're right. On the other side of the extreme.
Yeah.
But that's how you find balance, right? That's how it's like the Pandora's box. You have to get through all this stuff to find the other side.
We are just so good with the analogies and metaphors today.
Metaphor city. So anyway, we'll quit with those. But
we'll try.
The idea, right. Next will be puns, but no. So really, all we're trying to say is this is so normal and most people experience this because mm-hmm. if intuitive eating came that easily, then in this current culture, if intuitive eating came that easily, it wouldn't be a thing. It would just be, okay, we're all eating intuitively now.
Right.
But because we live in a culture that is the exact opposite, there's some exploration that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I guess our advice to you is really let it run its course.
Yeah, we know it can be scary and feel very discombobulating, but if we're trying to kind of control our urges around food, that can kind of just put a little bit of a stopper in the process. So yeah. I think there are some ways that can maybe help ease some of those anxieties when this is happening.
Right. And because I think what you're saying, sorry to interrupt you, because I think what you're saying is, you know, diet culture is the control around food, and the desire to control your food when you're feeling like you're lost in space is high. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to revert back, but you have to pass through this time. You cannot revert back to food rules in order to free yourself from food rules. So in order to work through this process, you have to let it happen.
Right.
But there are ways, like you're saying, to
kind of help ease those fears and anxieties. Yeah. So, I mean, the first one, again, being trust, you know, try your best to have trust in this process. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you know, you have access to somebody who can help you through it, mm-hmm. either a therapist or a health coach like Jen or a dietitian, whoever it is. There are intuitive eating coaches out there.
And it's also really important to remember that this is something I hear all the time with my clients, which is, as soon as you're tuned into diet culture, you can't unsee it. So you'll never really go back to it if you feel angered by diet culture. And so any experience that you have post your diet culture epiphany is just information gathering. And it might be a slow start at first, or it might be hot out of the gate and you're just kind of, you have to slow down a little bit. No matter how it looks for you, it's all just an experience that has to happen. And so don't fear it. It might be uncomfortable, but when you press into that discomfort, that's where all of the answers really exist. And that's a very important thing to get to intuitive eating.
Mm-hmm. And I think what the question asker was kind of alluding to is like that fear that, mm-hmm. you know, she doesn't have, or they don't have balance yet. They haven't been eating a variety of foods like they normally would. They've just been what I can assume is, you know, like they said, all the foods that they wouldn't allow themselves to mm-hmm. have when they were in that kind of more restrictive period. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, those fears, you know, if we think about it, those fears are coming from diet culture, because diet culture says we have to have this like perfectly balanced, you know, eating pattern where we're eating, you know, a variety of foods all the time.
We can't overeat ever. We can't, our size can't fluctuate up and down. It mm-hmm. can't, you know, diet culture is very much the pursuit of perfection. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women, this is maybe a tangent, I think a lot of women struggle with perfectionism, and no matter what degree that is. And so to then break free from diet culture is really challenging to that perfectionistic side of our person. So yeah, there's a lot of butting up against a previous version of yourself, and that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And so what's the, so that comes back to, what's the fear? What are you afraid of?
I think for many people, the fear would be, you know, I'm eating all of these foods that I didn't allow myself, and is this going to be all I'm going to eat for an extended period forever of time or forever? Yeah. And I think that's an argument you hear about intuitive eating all mm-hmm. the time. Like, how can it be healthy to eat whatever you want, whenever you want?
Right.
Well, and it's like, well, it's a lot more, you know,
Nuanced than that.
Yeah. And also, you know, that question is like that question of like, well, won't you just eat pizza all the time? that I think that also comes from diet culture because we see pizza as like this unhealthy food.
Right.
So yes, it's going to take some time to like work your way through the weeds.
And one of the things that's talked about all of the time in the intuitive eating training is the idea that if you're afraid of a food, so let's continue with pizza here. Like if you're afraid of, oh, won't I eat pizza all of the time? And pizza is your like vice and that's the thing, your kryptonite. Then maybe that's exactly where you should start is with pizza.
Yeah.
And if you're afraid you're going to eat it all the time, go ahead and eat it all the time and see what happens. Because by the end of that experiment, what we tend to see is that pizza loses its appeal. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to eating regularly and now you're just not afraid of pizza. And you get to have it whenever you want.
Right. We don't want you to totally like burn out on pizza necessarily.
But yeah.
Allow it to like run its course. Yeah. So that's where we were kind of, like you had mentioned before with the data gathering, you know, every experience from the time you start your intuitive eating journey and, forward on, we're always just gathering data to see how food feels in our bodies, how we feel emotionally around certain foods. And, one thing you can do that might help ground this person who's feeling maybe a little bit out of control and out of sorts around all of the food freedom that she's initially experiencing is to check in with yourself after a food experience. So whatever that is, again, we don't want to halt this and try to control the honeymoon period, as we might call it. Oh, sorry.
But let's say it's now your fifth pizza in 5 days.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. Realistically.
Yeah.
How do you think you're going to feel about pizza?
Yeah. Chances are you don't want pizza on day six. Kind of like leftovers. Yum. Amazing. Cool. Great. The next day. Wonderful. The second day. Meh. The third day. No.
Yeah.
And that's kind of this process here is you got to experience those things. You can't skip over it. You can't control it. You just have to ride the wave. Mm-hmm. Because logically, realistically, there is the other side of this. And that is not being so obsessed and not being so concerned or controlled.
Yeah. There's good things on the other side.
There are.
So just to summarize, trust in the process. Get yourself a support system through this, whether that's, maybe your support system is yourself, and you're journaling through this or whatever the case is. And just try to approach the process with a curious mind, an open mind. Remember that you're really gathering data about your food experiences and keep giving the middle finger to diet culture if that's what you need.
Yes. This reminds me that kind of this gray area that we all have to pretty much go through in order to get to intuitive eating. This might be coming up for a lot of you right now during the holiday season, because even if you've been on this journey for like 10 months, this is still your first holiday season with a new mindset. And so, all these things might come up. They might be something to give a little bit more attention to. You might have to draw this boundary with friends and family. You might have to revisit why it's important to you. You might have to experience some of the ebbs and flows all over again, because this is now new territory. And the holidays are a very unusual time. So just know that this is all very normal. It's okay to kind of go back to some of the old thought processes and know that there is an opportunity to interrupt them and to change course. Intuitive eating is not perfect. It's not meant to be perfect. We're not expecting perfection. And so I guess our advice to you all is to give yourself some grace this holiday season and try to enjoy it for what it really is about and to put less pressure on yourself.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay. You've been listening to the Food Confidence Podcast. I'm Jennifer Bravo.
And I'm Andrea Paul.
If you have any questions about the things you heard in today's episode or have topics you'd like us to discuss in the future, send us an email at foodconfidencepod@gmail.com or follow us and message us on Instagram at foodconfidencepod.